Welcome to episode 14 of The Endline. I'm your host, Jeff Kazimer, and we're recording the evening of Tuesday, May 21st. It's a good week in Rapids land, where today I am joined by
Eugene Burke, man of the interwebs.
An engaged fan.
All sorts of things, honestly.
Technically married fan. Jess.
I'm Jess Howen with MLS Female.
A week ago, people were asking if the Rapids would win a game at all this season. Personally, I found this kind of annoying because the way soccer goes, you get enough matches, the ball's going to bounce your way sooner or later.
Right.
Sunday, we got a great surprise. Eugene, was it skill or luck?
It was skill. Absolutely. Honestly, I think that's the thing with this team is I think that we have been relatively underperforming all year. I think we all came into the season thinking we had the talent to make it. And even then, right, I think that in many ways and in many phases of the game, we've seen a team that had it. They had what it takes. We've seen a lot of kludgy goals go in, bad circumstances.
That would be a technical term.
Yeah, kludgy. You have to look that up. It's in the soccer reference book. Yeah.
Those are Dombaji is like signature kludgy goals where they're like off your shin.
I think he wrote the reference book, actually.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you for calling that out, Jeff. I appreciate that. But no, I think the key for me is I think it was skill. I mean, obviously there's some amount of luck that goes into any win, right? And honestly, like, I mean, we'll have other players to talk about, but like props to Tim Howard, big saves all game.
Oh my gosh, yes.
But I really do think this was a skill win.
Jess, what was your read of just the energy and pace of the game?
They were ready for a win. I mean, I know they've been ready for it all season long, but there was just something about this game where they felt like they knew it was going to happen is kind of how they were playing. And, you know, it was just interesting because you look at the stats and we got beat out on all of the statistics, you know, behind the game between possession and accuracy and all that kind of stuff. But we made it work.
When you lose, you win. That's our motto.
Hey, you know, if it means that we keep walking away with 3 points, I'll take it.
Exactly. I'll take 10% possession if we
right.
can just get wins.
Because right. it's more about, you know, it's what you do with that possession versus, oh, hey, we had the ball for the majority of the time. Well, you didn't put it in the net, so.
It's remarkable that it didn't feel like the other games to me. When I was watching, like, I wasn't waiting for something to go wrong every minute. I was waiting for something to go right. You know, LA didn't play, they didn't look inspired at all, in my opinion. Like, the talk from pundits and so forth is the Galaxy play better. They play smarter team soccer when Zlatan's not on the field, right? That when he's out there, everything has to go to him. They're too focused on him. And so I kind of expected that, right? To see more smoothness, to see like better tactical execution and so forth. And didn't feel that way. It just felt like we're kicking the ball around, and whatever's happening in the midfield, there were just these enormous gaps that the Rapids were able to exploit.
Well, I think part of that was, I think from top to bottom, you know, kind of vertically through our field, I think we were more structured defensively, and the Galaxy had a hard time breaking us down. And I think that, I mean, to me, right, is like we obviously had our moments, we'll get to, but, you know, very sketchy moments that, you know, players came through in. But I think that for the most part, the Galaxy had those two. And those are normal in games, right? Like even good teams, you have sketchy moments in good games. But for the most part, I think just defensively, like, we look like a different team. I mean, to your same point, like, I didn't feel concerned. Like, oh, this is going to fall apart. Or, like, when are we going to get, you know, gouged in the heart with some weird goal or some crazy foul that comes
gouged
out of nowhere.
Gouged in the heart.
Exactly.
It's brutal.
That's how it feels,
like,
man.
I just felt like being a Rapids fan this
again,
season is just
again just gouged.
We're either gonna get gouged by the weather or our team.
Exactly. It was a kludgy gouging.
Eugene, did anything stand out about the like formation lineup, the way the team approached the game?
Yeah, so I think that at a base, right? I think that we came out with what mostly was a 4-2-3-1. I think that it definitely shifted into different formations in different phases. But I think the biggest thing for me was who was on the field. So I excited as heck to see Cole Bassett in the lineup. And then not only that, but as kind of the central attacking mid to a degree. Really interesting in that role. I kept seeing him on, like, basically I kept seeing this player run up on the field and then being like, who the heck is that? Because like, he doesn't fit who I expected to be.
Yeah.
And he's like making good moves. And all of a sudden I'm like, that's Cole Bassett. What's going on here?
I had the same exact read on it, which is it's hard for me on TV to like keep track of shape and who's where, you know, and then it'd be like, whoa, what's Cole doing up there? There were sometimes I'm like, what is Tommy Smith doing up there? Yeah. Like, where, what is the formation here? People are like all over the field.
Yeah, absolutely. There were like multiple moments where Cole was like playing almost as a forward and you're like, this is interesting. Like, this is new. I definitely liked it. I think the other thing that was, I would say, really worth discussing was, you know, Declan Wynn as left back and then Tommy Smith as the left center back. And honestly, I think that, like, our back line did a more than passable job. I think it did, in many ways, a great job.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think we discussed last week, like, what would we like to see as the center back pairing? Definitely a good pairing. I think they played well and they came out against a team everybody raved about is better without Zlatan. So it's, you know, I think this is was a good move looking forward.
I wonder if it's a disadvantage. This is like kind of a ridiculous argument, but for Declan Wynn, is it a disadvantage for him that he's a serviceable left back because it makes it easier to push him out of center back, right? You don't have to take him off the field. He can still like find a starting spot, where coming into this game, I was not convinced that Tommy Smith should take the spot that Wynn had been in previously. But if you're okay with sliding him out left, then you go, okay, yeah, this back four like seems fine.
Yeah, I think that's the weird thing with Wynn is I believe like he wants to be a left back. And so it's almost kind of juxtaposing that. It's like he's actually played best as a left center back. And to your point, right, I almost prefer him as a left center back because I think he does better there. But yeah, I think that's kind of the weird reality with players like Wynn, and I would almost put Nicholson in this category, where they're versatile enough, right, that they don't fit something perfectly, that it's really hard to peg them in one spot. And so you end up in this kind of weird zone of really trying to figure out how the rest of the team fits around them and where they might fit.
You mentioned Sam Nicholson, who was spent a lot of time on the screen during the game. Jess, I think you had thoughts. Mine were I like watching Sam Nicholson play.
Yep.
I like that he plays hard. I feel like we see him at full health right now, which we haven't seen in a long time. And also there were some parts really clearly missing, like some mishit passes, some mishit shots, some pieces where I was just like, oh, if this was sharper, you'd be really doing something right now. Did you get the same impressions? Does it seem like a kind of thing where it's like these can get better, or this is Sam Nicholson?
I think it's definitely these can get better. Like, the more I've seen him this season in particular, the more I've liked him. Just because each game I feel like there's...
Wait, you like players?
I know. I promise. Really, the only players I don't like are Declan Wynn and Tommy Smith.
I am befuddled right now.
I know, right?
I don't know if
so
to do with my hands. I'm feeling all strange.
No, I've been really impressed with Sam just this whole season. Kind of, you know, saw a little bit of it, you know, when he first came, but this season it's just been, can we keep him on every time? Because I like what he does. I like the hustle. I like that he's there and I like what he creates.
It's so refreshing to see somebody go at players with the ball, right? To like take somebody one-on-one on the dribble and maybe not make it through every time, but just give it a shot. You know, it reminds me a little bit of Vicente Sanchez, who I used to enjoy watching in like a similar position a couple years back. And he was not as fast, right? But he was in his later years during his time with the Rabbits. But he would get the ball out there on like the right wing and he would go at people. And it was exciting. You know, you felt like something could really happen.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's underlying that, right, is the criticism of Nicholson has basically been, dude has great skills. He goes at people. He has a great job of doing those things, but it's what is the end to that, right? Like, you get the ball, you dribble around. What do you accomplish in that, right? Are you creating space for other players? Are you creating opportunities? Are you creating shots, legitimate shots? And I think that's something, you know, I think we're seeing a little bit more of it this year, but that was a really fair criticism of like, dude would like do crazy things dribbling up the field and then he'd like take the shot and it'd be like, you know, 40 yards over the goal.
We'd see the same thing out of Baji last season too, though. He'd get all the way down to the end and then all of a sudden the finisher would be done.
Discussion. Reference.
Exactly. We'll have to work in a third or fourth. I'll think hard on that.
I'm sure we can come up with something.
Key piece there, right, is if Nicholson was a little more successful in shots, in passes, in just this specific game, I think the Rapids score 3, maybe 4 goals. Like there were several opportunities where it was on, the break was on, or it was like even numbers down there towards the Galaxy goal. And then a pass was missed or a shot was wide or ill-advised or whatever. And the whole thing came back the other way.
Well, and that wasn't just on Sam, you know, either. I mean, that was on Kai. That was on, you know, a couple of the other guys.
Are you speaking ill of Kai Kamara?
Oh, you know, it happens. I mean, there
we will not stand for this.
There are a couple.
She challenges him in one episode, and there's just trash talking.
Kai didn't
in the next.
Respond to us about the
hey,
challenge.
That works for me.
We got to get it on the gram.
I'll retweet that.
We got to get our Instagram game going.
We're working on it. Okay. You know, there were just a couple times. I mean, I tweeted out a couple times that, you know, hey, that was the wrong football because the ball just went straight over the goal. And I was telling my dad that I was like, there's one coming. I know there's a goal coming. They've been so close and they've been trying. And then sure enough.
Speaking of people not afraid of moving with the ball, Jonathan Lewis made his second start, was instrumental in some of the breaks and pressure that quickly moving from defense to offense. Eugene, would you say you're a fan or a super fan of Jonathan Lewis?
I'm a super fan. Honestly, I think that Jonathan is a competitor. I think that he brings it.
He looks so excited.
He really does.
He looks like, I mean, you're biased if you know the story, right? But it's like, he looks like somebody who's been working hard and hasn't been able to get in the starting 11. And now it's like, here, this chance has opened up for you. He's like, I'm going to go get it.
Exactly. And I think that's what you see, right? On the field is, and this is something that, you know, obviously the way the season has gone, you know, players like very reasonably lose confidence, right? Like it's a hard thing. And when you bring in someone like Jonathan, I think that you see someone who, to your point, is like hungry for it. They want it. They're excited. Like he has the talent. And so he's willing to try things and put us in positions that are awesome, right? I mean, like he himself is, you know, like causing problems that are opening up our other players, freeing up others, you know, space on the field. And it just puts us in a better position overall, right? Which has been incredible for us.
Yeah, it feels to me like we're maybe seeing a really good Jonathan Lewis. We're not yet seeing Jonathan Lewis connecting with everyone else on the field. You know, it doesn't seem like the rest of the team knows where he's going to go, how he's going to run, which direction he's going to head. And it's not like a symphony yet. It's just a really good solo performance.
But I mean, that'll come. Like there's still a lot that he has to learn about the team that he is now on. You said this was his second game. I mean, and you know, it's like Jordan talked about in the very first episode, like you can connect really well in practice, but practice fit is completely different than game fit. It's a different mentality. You're going to experience different things. And so the communication changes between practice and game. So, I mean, he'll get there. It's just need a little more time.
Well, and part of that, right, is new coach, new formation. I mean, 3-4 games ago, we didn't even play with wingers. Now here we are with two, I mean, we're talking the last 5 minutes, two exciting wingers,
about,
right?
And I love having wingers. It's
such
fun.
A change. And so I think that there's, I mean, obviously as a player, right, I mean, a part of being a pro, I have to imagine because I've not been there.
Yet.
Yet. Still waiting for that contract, Borig. Hit me up. I'll tweet at you. Don't worry.
Hashtag please.
Hashtag no, you can't say please. You gotta have confidence. The swagger, that's what they want.
Hashtag now.
But I think that's the key, right? Is I think that when the rest of the team gets the confidence and the experience in the system, that's like a part of being a pro, right? I think it has to be to the point where it is kind of clicking on all cylinders and you're not having to think through what's going on in the field and you can more inherently react to what's going on around you. And you can't do that after just like 2 games of planning a system. So yeah, I think it's kind of both ways. I think as soon as the rest of the team, as well as Jonathan, catches up, I think we might see some exciting things.
Mm-hmm. Keegan Rosenberry had a crucial clearance off the line that you referenced earlier. It was some kind of sideways ninja yoga volley twisting thing. Are we seeing him round into form with the Rapids? Is this him at his apex? I was a little surprised to realize that he's somewhere around or just over 100 starts in MLS. So like he's not a spring chicken anymore. Like he's played a lot of games. Do you think we can expect him to keep like getting better, or is this more or less where it goes?
I think we see almost all of our players improve throughout the season.
Absolutely.
I think in the first, what, you know, is it 10, 11 games?
Yeah.
Under Hudson. I think that we saw, and like if any of you players listen, this is no offense. I think we saw those players at their worst, right? And that's not an indictment of where they can be or their potential. I just think that when that kind of stuff happens, you can't be at your best. I mean, it's it is so hard to mentally get through that. And when you're already, when you're shouldering that burden, I don't think you can perform it at the highest levels you can. So I think that, you know, honestly, with the weight off the shoulders of the coaching change, the new formation, just the, I think that the freshness of trying something new, I think that we've seen pretty exciting things out of him. And I think that he has an even higher ceiling. I think that we'll see more of that, especially him moving forward is something that I think we saw him be actually fairly good at early on that stopped because I think we kept getting gouged, to bring it up again, defensively.
In retrospect now, it feels to me like under the Hudson games this season, right, obviously a lot of struggle in the results. It seems like maybe the players were trying to like hold together, right? We don't want to give up on each other. We don't want to give up on the team, but not really understanding. They definitely weren't playing free, right? They weren't playing like they knew what they were supposed to do. They knew how it was going to connect together. And I'm not like a tactical expert. I don't like understand everything or interpret everything out of what you get to see on a TV game, but it seems like they're having fun. Even before they were winning, they seemed like they were enjoying each other. They were enjoying their own work, and it just led to this intensity. And, you know, it's worth pointing out, like, that game got pretty scrappy and
scrappy quick too.
Scrappy quick. And there are a lot of times that we would be used to seeing somebody earn a red card, not just get one, but really earn it. Right. And they didn't. They held it together. Even when people got frustrated, I thought there was a point where Kellen was real heated about something and Tim came up and kind of like bear hugged him and pulled him away. Right. And like that to me is what it looks like when a team is clicking together, is like, even when things are going wrong or on the verge of going wrong, we're going to pull each other out of it.
Well, and I think that's just to add on, I think you nailed it. Right. I think with the leadership that we have, it's hard not to expect that, right? Like Tim Howard's been there. Right. And like, he's a player that wants to be a leader. And he has, you know, as much experience for an American player as you could ever hope for in being that guy in the locker room to do what it takes to lead a team. So honestly, to your point, it's honestly not surprising to me to see that.
Jess, Lawless Abubakar made his second start and seemed to always be in the right place at the right time.
Yep.
What'd you notice from him?
Well, I noticed that. He was there where he needed to be, when he needed to be. He had the right level of physicality that was needed against this team. Like he got the job done. You know, and I always love a physical defender. You know, Ramos is one of my favorites. So like physicality, let's go for it. You know, so it's really fun to watch him and just kind of, and see, like, I feel like he brings a different level of fight, to the back line than what we've seen the rest of the season. Like it seems like him just being there amps everybody else up a notch of, oh, we need to step up to this level. Cause from what we've been seeing so far is a lot of, well, we got to get to it. And now it's like, well, let's go get him.
Yeah. When we watched a lot of the early games, like I think even about the Chicago game, that was just a couple weeks ago, it felt like the attacking offense always had all this space, and there was all this space to close down, or the ball was moving across the goal. And it was like, wow, this man is totally unmarked over here. And when we thought about players coming in for the defense, there was a thought to me of like, we need better emergency defending. We need, like, when things are going wrong, somebody who can close this 8-foot gap really quickly and get on somebody. And from what I've seen, that's not what he's doing. Like, because it's even earlier than that. It's like, be in the right spot before it starts going wrong. Be close to the guy. Not that it's 100% perfect, right? Sometimes it might be on the wrong side of the guy or one step off or whatever. But it's not, he's not relying so far on like his physical attributes. It's really his mental game that is like putting him in the right spot.
Which is really great. I mean, it's that old adage about, you know, work smarter, not harder. And it just shows me that he's got a great soccer IQ, and that's what we want to see.
Yeah, and I think it's something for a center back especially that we're expecting to kind of hold down the line for us, is you want to see a player who reads the game really, really well.
Yeah.
And like, that's so apparently clear. Like, it's just the fact of like, you're like, oh no, a ball is coming through here. And then like, oh, there's Abubakar clearing it up again. And the thing is, he's not only is he clearing up the situation, he's retaining the ball and making something out of it, right? So it's like, it's not just, I'm just kicking it up the field and churning over possession, which is a sucky thing, right? Especially if we're going to move, and it seems like we are, at least for this interim, to be a team that does counterattack a little bit. We already aren't going to have the ball a ton. So to have a player that's smart enough to retain it is incredible. I will just say, on his the physicality side, when I watch him play, I don't think you're a very physical player. I think
yep.
you're really smart and you're everywhere you need to be. But he is a really physical player. And I love little things like there was a play, basically, I don't remember where it was from, but it was a clip showing another play and he was in the background 30 yards back. And it was just one of those things where like, he just kind of like, out of nowhere, just like shoves the forward for their team, not hard enough to cause a problem, but just enough to let you know, like, I'm a physical
here.
Dude, and I'm
right behind
here.
You. Yeah,
and I was just like, that is exactly what I want to see, and it was just like so nonchalant. It was not a big deal, but it was like enough to kind of jostle the player, and it's like that's again not only very smart, right? Because it's like you're supposed to get in people's heads as a defender,
yeah.
But also just comforting as a fan to see, like, yeah, dude's got it.
You want a mix of personalities on a team, right? You need some people to be fiery and some to be a little reserved. And what stood out to me in the brief like post game that we did a week and a half ago was just his like calm professionalism, right? Like, I know what my job is. I'm here to do my job. I'm excited to do my job. And it's not on one extreme, like, let's rip their heads off. And it's also not like, I'm just going to see what happens, right? It was just this like really middle course, which I'm excited about. Like, I think we need that.
Well, and I will ask one question. So do you guys feel like, I think you mentioned earlier, Jeff, like the just like inherent anxiety of watching the Rapids earlier was that, you know, not to name names, but like certain players that you feel like the back line, the midfield, that like, you're going to get a red card or like something's going to happen, maybe a little hot-headed. Whereas Abubakar just has that inherent calmness. Is that kind of why the game was a little easier to watch, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair, right? There was the ball cleared off the line, so it's not like LA didn't have chances, but you didn't, I don't think you felt like it was spitballs like stuck together at that point. You know, it was like things had, every game is going to have moments where you're in danger, but it wasn't like, oh, we messed this up and that created danger. We messed this up and created danger. It's like, they had a good play. It was dangerous. You know, whatever, we moved on. But yeah, it didn't feel like it was all about to come crashing down.
I think a lot of those like simple mistakes and stuff are just as a result of the anxiety that came with the early season, with they just didn't feel sure of themselves. And there's something about these last couple of games where they seem to feel a little more sure of themselves. So I don't know what we weren't seeing, you know, in practice, in the locker room, and any of that kind of stuff. But it seems like that has resolved. And so because they are now more sure, they're a little more confident. And when you're a little more confident, you make fewer mistakes in your play. I mean, not to say you're never going to make a mistake, because, I mean, we're human and that's what happens. But when you have that kind of solid, like, understanding of, you know, of your game, of your team, of your coach, that kind of, like, puts you at ease.
Speaking of managers, Connor Casey has brought a spark since stepping into the interim role with the Rapids. Last week, we released our conversation with Porg Smith with some thoughts on his manager search. But we haven't really heard any rumors or news popping up from those random overseas tabloids. Jess, I feel like that's your world, random overseas soccer news. Like, does this make you feel more comfortable or more worried about the manager hunt?
Honestly, neither. It's a neutral for me. Like, I feel that the forefront concern is the games, is what we're doing right now in this very moment, and that the rumors and all of that will come later. I honestly don't know that we're necessarily going overseas. I think it's probably good, you know, safe bet to say that we're staying stateside, so we won't really hear anything from overseas tabloids. But it doesn't really faze me one way or the other.
One last thing too, it's like the Rapids are extremely tight-lipped about these things, and I don't think there was, I think we were all shocked by the Hudson hire, not any for any reason. It was more like who is this guy? Where is he coming from? Mm-hmm. Right. And obviously the way that then is, we just not talk about that. But I think the reality is, you know, they are very good at not letting us know a thing if they don't want us to know a thing. So I literally do not expect to hear about this until they've hired someone.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. I wonder if there's a difference between like managers and their reps, their agents, and players and their agents, and if managers being like a little older in life, probably their agents a little bit older, if the overall the dance of winning a job and contract is just a little more mature and some less of like, hey, tell so-and-so that they heard this and that. You know what I'm saying? Like just to approach it a little bit more like professionally than things leaking out from like your friends and family.
Can you just like imagine some like well-known coach just like cryptically tweeting like the wave sign with like a red and then a wave and a red little bullet? Yes. It's like, what does this even mean?
Who was that? That was Kaku.
Yeah.
It was like Kaku had some like tweet like that of stuff, you know, and just like, what is happening with these players, man?
Well, Latif Blessing had one of those, what, last
week? Oh, no, you're right. It was Latif Blessing. It was Latif Blessing.
Free me.
Yeah,
free
me. Hashtag free me.
Which is not a good call. I think that was right after the transfer window closed. It's like, that's like the worst possible time to start being a problem.
I don't know if you know how this works, bro, but it doesn't help.
Eugene, Connor Casey has done well coming into a tough situation, perhaps like the toughest possible situation. Is there a path by which he could earn your vote as the guy for the future?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that...
hard yes.
There has to be a path, right? In what situation does someone not have the opportunity to earn it, right? And I think that he's come in and I think that he has taken a team that was... I mean, like how could you... I think we tied for the kind of worst... You know,
that's
correct.
Yeah.
Well, again, I keep trying to bring these things up, and
then you keep bringing them down.
The minute I bring it up, I'm just like,
bring it down.
I don't want to go there, and then I fumble. But so, to be a assistant coach who has not really been in this stage before, he hasn't coached youth level, so he doesn't really have the experience being like that guy that leads the team, and to come into this, to turn that around, and to have played persuasive soccer in the first two games and then won the third. I think that, you know, like, again, I'm not going to say he's the guy and I'm not going to say that he's definitely going to get it, but I just can't imagine in what scenario do you not at least offer the opportunity, right? Like, heck, if you win the next six games and we start to look good, it's yours. Like, no questions asked.
Well, aren't we technically offering him the opportunity right now in this very moment?
I feel like every time a assistant coach gets put in, it's more like you're literally like, just like don't let it catch on fire and we're going to find someone else.
It's like when the parent puts the oldest sibling in charge of the kids. It's like, don't let anyone die. If something goes really bad, call 911. Right. But just like, they can watch TV, you can eat mac and cheese, do whatever you want. Just don't lose it. We're trying to go out for one evening. You know, as a parent, I can relate to the situation. I don't know. I don't see a scenario where I'm fired up about Casey in the spot. It reminds me of Pablo a lot, of course, like situational similarities, but also similarities in the feeling of, I think you're really one step removed. You know, I would love a scenario where a manager is hired and Casey is assistant coaching the rest of the season. And then at the end of the season, put him in the next developmental stage, right? Whether it's taking the U18s or 20s or 23s or something and say like, okay, you've done the assistant coaching. You've seen where this can go at the pro level. Now do some head coaching one step down, or work something out with the switchbacks or the independents or somebody like that, where it's like, hey, you need a guy for 2 years, 3 years, and now maybe you could be the heir apparent. Right? Because especially if we bring in a head coach with experience, they're usually going to want to bring in their own guys.
And that's the thing too. And I think we're getting into these type of questions, but it's like almost the proposition that we would take a guy like Connor, regardless of the, you know, the ability that he has and the potential that he has, almost precludes us from the, you know, potential that we could be looking at a legitimate coach out of Europe or South America. Which, again, like, I don't know why we would be out of those conversations. Like, many MLS teams are, like, there's a lot of things that are alluring. We talked about the last week to being the coach of the Rapids. But I just can't imagine that, like, you know, we're just out of those conversations. And so to take a coach that, you know, quite literally has no experience doing it, I think is just a big risk, right? It's not against Connor. It's just the reality of the situation.
Well, and this far in, I am especially leery because there just seems to be this like surge after a coaching change.
Yeah.
And so we saw it, you know, overseas at Real Madrid. We saw it with Lopetegui. We saw it with Solari. There was a surge with both of them, and then they both kind of petered out after a while. And so I'm kind of really like, I want to see what happens past the next handful of games, like closer to the end of the season. Like, do we keep up this level of play that we've got under Casey, or is it just we are winning because we are reacting to a new situation and this fresh blood kind of idea of there's it's new and exciting and let's do this, you know?
There's not data about MLS coaches the way there is about players with the players union and so forth. But from what I've read, it sounds like the range of manager salaries goes around 300K to like 1.5, where the majority are in this like 500, 600, 700 kind of range.
Yeah.
Just let's say you have a budget of around 750K. What type of manager are you going to go after? You are Porik Smith.
Oh.
Who are you? What kind of person are you targeting?
Yeah. First and foremost, probably somebody who is a unifier. I think that is one of the, you know, major jobs of a coach is to get your team to behave like a team. Someone who is not afraid to kind of go after that player, that one player that everybody goes, he'll never go to the Rapids because they're the Rapids. And then all of a sudden, oh, now he's on the Rapids, you know, that kind of.
Yeah. It might be my own like personal biases, but I think it's kind of echoed in what you're saying, that I want to see a people person and I'm willing to sacrifice them not being a soccer person. We were talking in our chat about like Pep Guardiola, you know, and in watching the Man City TV show and all this stuff, I was like 10 out of 10 Pep Guardiola fan, just because you can see the passion with which he approaches the group. And it's not passion for the game, it's passion for the team and the like collective movement and every individual like being a part of pushing forward. And I don't need a manager to see that as a tool to the end, where the end is championships and like wins and all that stuff. I'm okay with that being the end of like, if we are working together, pushing the same way, enjoying it and like collective action kind of way, the good results will come.
But at the same time, you are also the fan that prefers a good experience of the game over a win. So I think
biases.
That,
I have
exactly.
Biases.
Exactly. So, I mean, obviously my end goal is I want to see the championship. I want to see another MLS Cup come to Colorado. You know, and so when you say people person versus soccer person, I would counter that with, well, why not somebody who is both?
Because you don't have 1.5. You got 750K. You got 600K.
But who's to say that that person does not exist in that particular salary range?
Yeah, I would throw in there. I think that I think those are all admirable traits. I think I would focus, like, if I had $750,000, I'd hire myself. I mean, crap. Never gonna get that kind of money. But
just cutting
aside,
us out. The team is over.
It's my
Eugene's
money.
Just
guys.
Going solo.
It's my money. I'm sorry. I'll try to hire you on as assistants or something.
Don't worry. I'd hire my dad, so it's all right.
I would want to hire someone who is motivated, because that's the one thing. You know, Pep. I will first of all say, when you talk about like being a leader and being passionate, he perhaps has the most like epic, disappointed dad face with his players ever, which I absolutely love, because I mean, he really does, you know, view himself as like the father to the team in a way, and like absolutely love that about him. But I think part of that, right, is like he is so he's intense, he's insane, right? Like he is crazy about the sport of soccer, but
and that's the thing, I don't know if that's exactly right. I think he's crazy intense about the people and like using soccer as the arena, you know, like he wants those results. But what you see him talking about is like the heart, the spirit, you know, I picture him just like in those full bodies, like you have to feel it, you know, yeah. He's like crouching and it's just like in its arms. And it's not like you got to get the goal. It's about the feeling of it.
I think you're on to that. I think the moment to me that I think kind of validates this for me is when, you know, basically after their last match of the season, they won unexpectedly. And there he is, the celebrations going on, confetti on the field, like literally coaching Raheem Sterling 20 minutes after the loss. And they literally sat there and he pointed around the field and he was like serious face and stern face. You could tell Sterling was like, I wish I wasn't kind of doing this right now. But you can also tell that like Sterling's like, this guy's the best, right? Like, I'm going to sit here and I'm gonna learn from him. And I think that's the thing is, I think to your point about the passion is like the desire to help players succeed and the tactical know-how to ensure that that happens.
My other Pep Guardiola fan moment of the like last week or two was in the press conference before that, when the reporter, I don't know if you saw this clip, when they're like, you're on the verge of winning the first like domestic treble, da da da. And he just like totally flat goes like, no, the women have already done it.
Right. I love it when that happens in media. That is so encouraging and brings a smile to my face every time something like that comes up.
Speaking of big personalities, Bruce Arena was named to the head coach of the Revolution as both manager and sporting director, aka general manager. If that option had been offered to the Rapids, would you take Bruce if it meant turning over total control?
Nope.
Yes.
Ooh, hard no and a hard yes. Jess. Give us your no.
Honestly, I have not liked Bruce since his first stint with the national team. So I'm just not a fan of the guy at all.
I don't like the dude. Dude wins, right? He's been in different situations, different teams. He wins. You can talk about the national team. We suck. Like, we have way too high of expectations.
Wait,
he was
which
put
one?
In a bad situation.
Hold up. I mean, if you're coming up with this last round and you're going to say that we were playing Trinidad and Tobago, who we had already beaten once in the World Cup qualifier rounds.
Yeah,
and if you're going to tell me that they're a better team than who we fielded, yeah.
Sure. We had a bad game in Trinidad and Tobago, but people always bring that up.
Too,
no one, everyone wants to crap on Bruce. And like, I don't like Bruce. Bruce did not put us in the situation. Jurgen Klinsmann did.
But he didn't even do anything to get us out of that situation. But
yeah, he did
so
pretty
like,
well into the
kind
last
of
game.
Blaming the firefighter, not the fire starter, if you will.
Exactly. But I mean, the point is, right, the dude has succeeded in this league. He knows the league. He knows the players. He knows how to win in this league, and he's done it.
5 MLS Cups, I believe, between DC and LA.
Absolutely. Well, and on top of that, I mean, like, he's the type of, I mean, especially if he's the GM, like, he's the type of player, excuse me, of coach that players want to play for, right? Like, he has that magnetism, that personality, that just like the cachet to a degree, right? That like, like him and himself could attract players that would maybe not come here to Colorado. And like, that's the thing is like, do I like the guy? No. Am I disappointed in the way things have turned out in his career? Do I hate him for his experience with the Galaxy? Yes. But if I was just to like flip the switch and it could make a thing happen, I couldn't say I wouldn't think about it.
I like the potential. If you're running the Revolution, and we don't have to fire any of the people that we know, I like the move of Arena as manager, or I like him as sporting director. I just don't. I think the double is antiquated at this point. Like, I think the league is too big, moving too fast, too complicated. The player market is so international now. How can you possibly do both? And I heard him interviewed on Extra Time where he was essentially saying, like, I'm going to have really good people working on these things, and I'm just going to be making final decisions. Yeah, that makes sense, but it's also not how cognitive resources go. Like, if you're making hard choices about players and about strategies, then you can't also be making hard choices about game plans and who's going to be in the starting lineup and what the tactics should be. Like, I think 4 years ago, 6 years ago, that made sense. The game was smaller. The league was smaller. It just, everything was essentially like a little bit easier. But now I think it's not that it's passed him by, it's that this model is passed by. How we get on the Bruce Arena podcast? I guess I asked the question. Eugene, if you were on the Rapids interview team, what are some of the questions you'd most want to ask a potential manager?
You know, Jess nailed it earlier, I think, and I think you jumped on, Jeff, with really wanting to get at the kind of like the heart of who a coach is. Because if anything, in these types of positions, I really think that a coach needs to have the heart of a teacher, right? And I even think I said it with Pep, right? Is like, at the root of what he does, he like, I don't know, this is my opinion, I think he truly wants his players to be better. I think he truly wants the best for them. And then that comes out in the way the team plays. I still think the dude's a tactical genius, right? And that's the underpinnings of it. And that's the next stuff, right? Is I think, first of all, like, does he truly love the game? Does he truly love coaching and teaching players and, right. and like, kind of like guiding them through becoming better? And then I think the next question is, do you have the technical chops to do that? But the first questions are all around, do you love teaching? You know, like, can you teach players? Like, show me how you've done this. You know, where are you going to do it here? Look at our current roster and what are the opportunities that you see?
Well, and not only do you love it, but do you have a passion for it? Because going through an education program, I watched a lot of students kind of wash out after a while. And so it's like, you may love it. You may think this is what you want to do. But as soon as you start getting into it, you know, if that passion isn't there, that desire falls by the wayside.
The line from my conversation with Porg that keeps replaying in my head is where he said, I want to hire a teacher. And I think there were a lot of other words you could have said in that spot, right? I want to hire a winner, someone who's won and is accustomed to winning and demands that of players. Like, that totally makes sense. Like, that is a reasonable manager to hire. That's not the manager I want to see. And honestly, I don't think it's the, I think if you are the Galaxy, you want that manager. Like, you know, you're going to have the budget. You can do whatever you want. You can buy the players and you can win with them. The Rapids are not going to be that team, right? There's not going to be a point in the future where we're making $15 million transfer signings. It is going to be building with kids, getting growing them into young men, getting the best you can out of them, occasionally augmenting with somebody who has experience, who has proven it. But if you're expecting to come in and take what we've got and win with that, it's probably not going to happen. It's got to be take what we've got, grow it into a thing that can win. Keep growing the next ones into the next thing that can win.
Yeah. And I think that's on, kind of within that, right? And that's probably my deepest criticism of Hudson is that I don't think he was pragmatic enough, right? And so, I mean, it's just pretty simple. In any sport, it's like, let's first learn how to defend and to ensure that, you know, we're not just like giving up, you know, points, goals, whatever you're doing, in incredible volume. And then let's build on it. Let's figure out that. I think that, you know, even, who was the Chelsea coach a couple of years ago? I'm just spacing his name, but he basically came in, he kept the system of the previous coach for a little bit, right? And then he eventually transitioned to the system that he wanted. And you're working with the best players in the world. You have the almost the ultimate flexibility in budget in that situation. And yet he took the pragmatic and kind of slow growth approach. And I think that's smart, right? I think that's one thing that you want to see a coach that isn't hyper idealistic and going to force a system like regardless of the players. And like Hudson can say whatever he wants about the type of player we have, but like if you're a coach and you're not figuring it out and like if you're going to blame the players, that's the ultimate, like, you have failed, right? And like him making that statement is less of an indictment on the players and more a statement on him. And I think that's what I want in a coach, is a coach who's willing to take the pragmatic approach to make it work with the players he has. And again, it's like you said, to grow them.
The essential question to me is, how are you going to help players become the men that they want to be?
Mm.
And an answer of, you help them get better, right? We'll coach them up. That's a zero, right? I want to hear, how are you going to use data? How are you going to use community building? How are you going to use the work that you do together? Like, how are you going to help then become the players, the men that they want to be? And if you can tell me that, and it takes you about 15, 20 minutes to explain it because you got some depth to what you have to say, then you can be my guy. All right, so the manager search is not going to end this week, but Saturday, your Rapids take on the Columbus Crew at 7 p.m. Dick's Sporting Goods Park. Y'all going to the game?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. We're actually bringing my mother-in-law. Very excited. She's going to sit next to us. It's going to be great. I don't know if she watches any soccer ever. I actually don't know if she's seen a soccer game other than like small children.
We can promise that your mother-in-law, if you don't know that she watches soccer, then she has never watched soccer before.
I think so, especially coming from Montana. There's just a low likelihood.
Montana. Like, they might have a USL team. I think everybody has a USL team now.
I don't think we have a USL team.
Eugene, the Crew have been struggling. But our friend Matt Pollard has called the Rapids Slump Buster SC. Can we catch the Crew while they're down?
Matt is prophetic, man. I think so, man. I think that, you know, again, we're on the up and up. We won a game. I don't know who I saw on Twitter, but calling it a streak. You know, I think it's fair, right? Let's have fun with it. I think that, I mean, from what I've seen, the players are in good spirits. And I think that, and this is the thing, I think we've talked again and again and again, like we more than have the talent to be like a competitive team in this league. And so it's kind of like, who knows what's going to happen, you know, once we kind of, you know, take off a little bit of the strife and the frustration and kind of like let that off our shoulders. Kind of who knows what kind of a team we're going to turn into. And I'm positive. So
Jess, the Crew started the year with some decent results, but they've slid now to eighth in the East. They've lost 7 of their last 8 games. What's going on? Have you seen anything from them?
You know, honestly, I can't really speak to this question. I have not watched a single Crew game.
They're not super exciting to watch. When the Crew is playing well, they're shutting teams out. It's, you know,
that's when
defensive
I get points
because
I've got Zach Steffen.
That's right. Some Zach Steffen. They have strong defenders, and they do a good job on defense. It seems like the problem has most consistently been on offense, that it's not quite fitting together. You got some players kind of reaching their later years. You got Jossie Zardes, who we'll talk about in a minute. But yeah, the offense is like not clicking together. It's interesting coming back to our manager discussion, right? Like Caleb Porter came in. I don't know if I'm like a above average Caleb Porter booster. I always thought he did like a solid job in Portland. It seemed like he kind of got done dirty when he was put out from there, was out of the league for the year. Eugene, like, how come it doesn't work for Porter to just walk into a team that Greg Berhalter had tuned up, was doing pretty well with? Is there anything for us to learn as Rapids fans about that?
Well, I mean, I just think back to the Extra Chime radio interview that he did, which was, if you guys have not heard that, it was very, very interesting. Dude, I mean, I was like enthralled. I think that, you know, he is a coach, just to say, I think to your point, you're kind of a booster, I think I am too, is dude laid it out. Like he was extremely open as to like kind of what went on, obviously, you know, with some discretion in the Portland situation, what he didn't get there and why he thought that was going to translate to more success in Columbus. And I think the biggest thing he said is that like he plays a very, very similar style to Greg Berhalter. The biggest difference is that he was far more committed to playing out of the back. And so I'm kind
that
of...
Greg was?
Yes, sorry. Yeah, no.
Porter.
Porter was. Yeah, he said Greg had the... Basically, I think he said you looked at it, they would slightly play out of the back, but they'd basically push the ball quickly to the midfield, like very, very quickly through the midfield and kind of like into the opposing territory. Whereas he, you know, more wanted to gently work it up, you know, and kind of create those opportunities. And I'm kind of the same boat as Jess. Like I'm not going to say I watched them week in, week out. I think I saw them last 2 weeks ago and it just doesn't seem like it's working out. Like I think that, you know, you still have the same talent, you still have the same players. I think they're, again, you know, it's one of the situations where, you know, going back to what we wanted to coach, a coach being maybe a little bit too, you know, not as pragmatic as they should be, sticking to their guns as opposed to kind of doing what works best for the team is, I think, potentially my takeaway of kind of what's going on in Columbus.
Speaking of sticking to what works, just should the Rapids photocopy last week's lineup and game plan and just roll with it?
Not entirely. I would say a lineup, probably.
You just want Declan went out.
Right? Well, I mean, there's that. I wasn't going to go there, though, for once.
Does Rubio break back in your lineup?
No. I honestly have not been impressed enough with him this season to put him back in as a starter. I think what changes, though, is game plan, because I think you kind of have to modify that based on who you were facing on a weekly basis and based on what you've seen them do. Because what worked against, you know, the Galaxy might not necessarily work against the Crew, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I feel like that's probably right. I think the Galaxy, you know, for a couple of seasons now have been a bit undisciplined, especially in midfield and like the gaps between midfield and defense. So it wasn't surprising in a way that there was space for the counterattack, that things could work there. I think the Crew is much more disciplined, and you can't really like sit deep against another team who's going to sit a bit deep, right? Or just like lob balls from one end line to the other. It probably is going to take a little bit more build up play. And I think is going to test some of this coordination we're talking about, like with Jonathan Lewis, with Sam Nicholson and so forth. Like, can we can we move the ball around when it's not just like a full sprint trying to break towards goal?
Yeah, that's one question, though, I think you guys brought up is, I think we've seen pretty exciting things and we've seen good play from a pretty consistent lineup for the last 2 weeks. And, you know, we brought Rubio in with the kind of context of he's, you know, regardless of how he gets paid, he's a DP type player. And I do think it's a good question. He's like, where do you guys think he slots in this lineup, or does he?
Yeah, I'm not sure what he gives you right now. You know, if Kai was struggling to go 90 minutes, then I could see an argument that you start Rubio and you put Kai in midway through the game, right? And where you're going to be crossing more balls late and he's going to be putting the head on it. But right now, I like Rubio. I like watching him play. I want him to keep his maybe temper a little bit more in control. But I don't know who I could take out and put Rubio in that spot. You know, like I feel good about Rubio in the lineup, but there's nobody who I say, yeah, I want that skill set more than this guy.
Yeah, I feel better about him in the 18 than the 11.
Yeah, because it seems like Nicholson would probably be the guy, right? Because yeah. I think Rubio is more of a right-sided player. And, like, I mean, Lewis is, you know, he's in the 40 for the national team, right? So, I mean, like, dude's going places. And, you know, again, Kai, you're right. So, yeah, and that's the thing is, like, it just seems like, you know, potentially that would be the swap. And I think kind of to your guys' point, I think underlying what you guys are saying is, you know, we seem to be moving towards a pretty fast break counter, and I don't know if you know, if Rubio fits that as well as Sam Nicholson does right now.
To that point, we've been talking about aggressive attacking soccer for years now, 2 years around the Rapids way, but a little bit of defend and counter last weekend like felt pretty good. It was nice to watch. We like the result. Eugene, where do you think the future of this team is?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think Porig is committed to the attractive, attacking football that everyone wants to hear. I think the problem with that is I just want to win. Like, I think that there is more fun had in winning than there is in any really smug satisfaction that we played a good game. And so I don't think that you can play, you know, a winning season without playing somewhat exciting football. I think the 2016, you know, challenges that, and that is the call out to that point. But I think that aside from that, where we had crazy lucky results, I think it's like they kind of come hand in hand, and I just want to win. And so that's the thing, is I hope that, like, I don't care if we counter. Like, I actually like a good counterattack. I like a good counterattacking team. It's actually very exciting. I don't think possession is everything, but I have the feeling that we're going to see this for a little bit more just because it seems to be working. We seem to be having more success with it, and it obviously bolsters our defense, right? Like, it basically puts that as a much higher priority than we've been putting recently, which I do think makes the team play better. I think it gives them a lot more confidence, and I think that I don't know what you guys think. Like, do you think that under Casey, we're going to see a different style? Because I think that it's basically, again, it's that, you know, don't light the car on fire and we'll be back from the grocery store in 5 minutes kind of situation.
I think it would be a given that we're going to see a different style because, I mean, even coaches that have very similar, you know, have similarities in what they do have great differences at the same time. Like, everybody has their own spin on different elements of the game and different ways, you know, you should go left instead of going right, like the other coach thinks, you know, like stuff like that. So yeah, I think we're gonna see, you know, different.
So do you think Casey will transition to a different style in the next few games?
Different from what we're seeing.
Different from what
we're seeing right now.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I think that really depends on the players. Like, I think we'll see a little bit of a transition in style, especially as the players get more comfortable with each other and have a better understanding of, oh, if I hit this here, he's going to be there. I think that's where we'll see the stylistic changes. And so that may not necessarily be Casey-driven as much as it is player-driven.
Yeah.
What I hope, I think with Hudson from the very beginning, it was, here's my tactics, here's my formation, here's the movement of the formation, players fit into this. If you don't fit, we'll find somebody who will, right? And what I hope we can see during this Casey time, maybe Casey era, is building up the players and finding the formation for them. rather than the other way around, right? And I think we've seen simpler game plans, we've seen simpler formations, simpler movements, and it's like, hey, look, nobody's dramatically out of position when like the attack is coming down the flanks, or when we're on offense, there were times that there were three Rapids attacking two LA Galaxy players, and like, I don't know if I saw that all season. If players can play free and excited, they're gonna get results. And like, if this is where we're at right now, that like a simple, little bit more defensive, little more countering allows players to have that attitude on the field, then I'm for it. And when they get to the spot where they are clicking, the movement is cleaner, the passing and anticipation is cleaner, and say, okay, let's turn this up a notch, I think they'll feel ready for it. They'll show that they're ready for it.
Yeah, sometimes back to the basics is just the way to go.
What do y'all, of course, we'd like to continue the winning streak, but what do y'all want to see out of this game?
Eugenia going for another clean sheet because it worked last time.
Going for another clean sheet, and I'm not going to explain it.
I think the clean sheet against a team that has been struggling offensively is totally reasonable, right?
Yeah.
Tim's playing well, looks spry. You know, I have this hypothesis that groin injury that he picked up with the national team a year and a half ago lingered a lot longer than he or anybody else wanted to admit, and that he was like a little bit either hobbled or not quite 100% last season.
Mm.
And this whole season, he's looked pretty good to me.
Well, but when you're that competitive, you never really want to let your opponents in on any kind of weakness whatsoever.
Sure.
So, of course, he's going to keep that under his hat.
What do you want to see out of the game, Jess?
A win, for sure. I definitely want to see more of what we saw out of the Galaxy game, more attacking, more, you know, a clicking defense like we saw. I think that was probably what really aided Tim this last game. I mean, he made some out of his mind saves. Like, let's no bones about it. But at the same time, it felt like he didn't have to make as many of those or be expected to make as many of those as he has in past games. So I really want to see more of the defense, you know, playing like you expect them to, and people getting back, you know, when they need to, and not having to play catch up.
Yep. I want to see another 1-0. You know, to me, that's like the win that I want this team to experience is we gritted it out on defense. We did something on defense. Like, we held a team that is holdable. We held them back, and we got one in the net. Like, I'm good. I'm excited about that.
I mean, I like the 1-0, but at the same time, 1-0s give me, like, they're horrible for my blood pressure, and they just skyrocket all the way up until the final whistle.
Before the one, or it's after the one?
It's usually after the one, because so far this season it's been like, great, we've got our one, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, you know. So it's kind of more of just a please don't screw this up, you guys got this, we can do this, and it has me on the edge of my seat, and usually my dog hiding under the couch at some point.
The other little piece, even though it sounds kind of stupid, is I don't want to see a red card. You know, honestly, I never like to see a red card in the game, period, from either side. But it's embarrassing to me when we pick up red cards. Like, that, this is like, it's one thing to not play well, it's another to be unprofessional. Yeah. And that's what I think most red cards and most that we've picked up, it's like, you are losing it right now.
Well, in the last two games, the two potential red cards weren't against us.
Right.
And both
overturned.
That's a change, right? And I think that, well, you know, you got Don sitting on his couch, calling it in.
Hashtag Garbard.
Rigging it for the other teams. Don, if you're listening, man, you're horrible.
Yeah, thanks. No thanks, Mr. Garbard.
Thanks, no thanks.
Thanks for making the sport successful in our country, and no thanks for personally undercutting the results of the Rapids.
Dude just has a vendetta. I don't even know why. If you don't think this is true, I have a blog where I explain in depth. Jokes aside. But so I think that's the nice thing, though, to your point, right, is, you know, you don't want to see a red card. But what's fascinating is that I think we've played in a way from the Hudson now to the Casey era where we're not even playing in a way where I would expect us to get red cards. You know, obviously the, you know, situation with Rubio excluded, which, I mean, what do you do? But I think that, I'm not even sitting, because like previously I'm sitting there worried that like,
yep,
someone's going to get a red card at any moment.
Well, if you're in position, you don't pick up cards.
Yeah.
Right. You get yellows, you get reds because you're trying to close, because you're behind the play, because you're pissed off, right? And so you clip somebody in the ankles or you get twisted up. If you're on the right side of the ball.
Axel got his red and he was right where he needed to be possession-wise.
Which one? What'd you say?
The first red. So Axel's red in the very first game. Positionally speaking, he was right. But it was a handball in the goal, so.
Yeah. All right. So also don't touch the ball with your hands. Important.
Yeah.
Don't forget the natural soccer position.
Natural. No one is clear what a natural soccer position is, but whatever. Like, maybe we need a kit with pockets, and then that would be their natural position.
Well, there you go. And then you get the coach, you know, really doing the parenting thing of hands in your pockets. Yes. Don't touch that.
Yes.
Well, so I don't know if you remember this, but during the game, it was like a pretty solid kick on goal, and Smith put his hands behind his back.
Yes.
And like clearly hit it. With his elbow, his arm all the way down his side, clearly like leaned in and hit it with his elbow. But he didn't stick his elbow out. Like it was as clean a, that was pretty much a handball. It's never going to get called situation as possible. But it was just like, it really does bring up the question of like, this is just, it's almost ridiculous at some point.
I think they said that I think Marcelo was saying that on the broadcast. Like, is this a natural position? Your hands behind your back? You know, it's like, we need to ask Jordan sometime, or I need to ask Jordan sometime this question. Like, I don't understand why players turn in that scenario. Is it because it's going to hurt when you get hit by the ball, but getting hit by the ball is what you're trying to do? You know what I'm saying? Like that move where you put the hands behind the back and then at the last second turn sideways. It's like you're giving up half your width. Because you're scared. I mean, I'm not trying to call anybody out. I don't want to get hit with those balls either. But if that's your job, like, shouldn't you be full up, squared up on that ball?
Well, I almost wonder if the squaring up is more of like an attempted like intimidation factor. And so then you're like, well, hey, look, this makes me look a little bigger. So here I am. And then as soon as they hit, it's like, uh-huh.
But not really. Let me get out of the way. Right.
But I'm not intimidating.
All right. Let's wrap this up. Give me some predictions for the game, Jess.
I'm going to say win. Maybe 2-1.
2-1. That's my call too. Yeah. 2-1. You want to call any goal scorers?
Goal scorer. I think Jonathan Lewis gets his first.
I think I like Lewis for the assist.
Well, he can have the assist on the second one then.
Okay. Okay.
I go 2-0 Acosta and Lewis.
Ooh. I want Acosta to find some good news in this life.
Yeah. Well, I want to see Nicholson put one away too, because he tried so hard this last game to get it away, and it just wasn't falling for him.
I wouldn't be shocked if you did have a 2-1 if one of them was off a corner or set piece for an Aboubakar first Rapids goal.
Oh, that would, against like, the crew too. That
total
would be
man
like
of the match.
How poetic would that be?
Watch though, like sometimes things that are not discussed in trades, like midseason trades or loans. He might not be in the lineup.
I was wondering that earlier.
I didn't think about that before. Oh, that'd be so sad, right? Like Zach McMath, when he came over from wherever he came from, he was like not
Philadelphia, right?
Philadelphia, yes. Thank you. Part of the there was a condition that he could not play against Philadelphia for the Rapids, and you would think it's probably most likely, now that I'm really thinking it through, that Aboubakar on a loan especially would have the same clause.
Maybe not. I don't know. I mean, it seems less common in MLS than it is overseas. So I don't know.
Hashtag petty, you know, let the players play, man.
That seems like such a strange thing. Like, to a degree, I get it, but it's like, listen, if you're not going to play the guy, let him play. Like, and if you're so afraid of him being the person that changes the tide against you guys, then come on.
I think that's it for episode 14 of The End Line. For myself, Jess, and Eugene, thanks for listening and have a great week.